Welcome to the Taproxy Method, creating confident learners. The Taproxy Method uses a unique combination of breath work, brain body work, gratitude, and a clay-based program to affect the neuroplasticity of the brain in students. To help strengthen their mind-body connection, help them develop a growth mindset, and most importantly, trust and confidence in themselves. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any episodes. One way to support the Creating Confident Learners podcast is to leave a 5-star review and written review anywhere you listen to it. Thanks so much, and let's get started. It's really, really hard to get to the skills themselves, the abilities within the classroom that they actually need to develop, because the mindset is a hindrance, is a block. And we have to help them reframe what they're thinking and feeling, and feel fully whatever they're feeling, but then have better tools to navigate. Joe Dispenza, the To Be Magnetic community, Bruce Lipton, author of Biology of Belief, they all talk about discharging these old feelings to override the old patterns. And just thinking about how what we say out loud is only a small little part of what goes on internally. So when a child says out loud, or what a child says out loud, is only a small percentage of what they're actually thinking. Be sure to sign up for the Foundation course. This course is here to support you, both parents and educators. It teaches the exact foundational tools I have used with students to increase focus, ease anxiety, and help raise confidence and self-esteem so that they can succeed in all areas of their lives, including academics. It's made into bite-sized, digestible pieces to help you apply these tools right away. I was thinking a lot about how we talk about ourselves affects our actions, and how this is so linked to how kids show up in life in the classroom. Like, negative self-talk really affects classrooms' quote-unquote abilities. When a kid thinks that they can or are willing to try, oftentimes they can. And how children talk about themselves affects their actions. And until we can help children change how they see themselves as students, the same challenges that have come up will continue to pop up over and over and over. There, of course, are reasons why kids struggle with certain times in their academic career, learning certain skills, whether they're the core skills of reading, writing, math, spelling, and why certain types of kids tend to struggle more with, say, reading or more with math. And then there's also things that affect, you know, how they show up in the classroom, self-esteem, but also maybe work ethic or being used to any challenges. A lot of times the kids who wear things come easy to them in life in general, maybe a sports move or a skateboard trick or surfing or whatever they're using their body, or they get things one-to-one about, you know, stories or movies or people around them. But when they actually have to develop the skill of reading, the skill of spelling, they are not used to things being a little bit more gritty, a little bit more challenging for them. And I will argue that how a child talks to themselves and perceives themselves greatly affects what type of students they are and how much they actually learn. Yes, learning differences are very real. The dyslexia, the ones who don't hear phonetic sounds, the ones who struggle to write letters and numbers correctly, the transposing or backwards even, correctly identifying them and remembering them within their normal peer group time frame with only those usual tools. You know, I've watched those types of students need different tools, the visual tools of clay and tracking and spell reading to rectify their gaps, but also explicit teaching and showing them where they're missing and what their mistakes are so that they themselves can correct it, because they're not filtering in knowledge intrinsically, or they need that real explicit reasoning. Whenever a child is noticing that they're behind the majority of their peers and classmates, they themselves start to notice it, you know, and then that starts to affect the self-esteem, right? I mean, this podcast is called Creating Confident Learners. The big thread that I've seen, and I've professionally taught for 20 years, but I've also, you know, been around students since for 30 years. I was a babysitter, a camp counselor, a classroom helper, a tutor, a, you know, peer tutor, a nanny when I was much younger. And, you know, the same thing applies. Like, confidence is the thread that I've seen in 30 years of really what makes a difference for how kids do in school overall. But when they start noticing that they are majorly behind their peers and classmates, they notice it themselves. Some kids start calling themselves stupid. And the next thing that follows often is, I can't or I won't even try. And so it's not always the classroom ability that is being affected. The self-talk is now affecting the abilities. And when they get to that point, the gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger over time, because now they are compounding the parts that are hard because they can't or won't try. I've watched kids, you know, especially at homes, in home situations, but also in the classroom situations, they have a host of ways of deflecting and not being fully engaged with the work that they need to do. They either, you know, forget or daydream or don't fully pay attention or listen or refuse to do homework in the worst cases at home, or act out and don't want to go to school, don't want to go, you know, do the things that, you know, is required of a typical student at their age. And, you know, as they start to notice themselves that they are behind, they're doing these things. But then, unfortunately, also in the classroom setting, some of these kids do get made fun of, or, like I was saying, often tend to act out. I get that some of these kids in the classroom setting are not the easiest to teach and deal with in that setting. They do disrupt the class flow because their needs or behaviors are too much in that dynamic to keep up or to keep the pace of the class, or need a lot of one-on-one time, a lot of attention just to, you know, do the basics. The gaps in knowledge are just too big at that point. Just this week or last week, unfortunately, one of my students last week just wrote a made-up story, again in quotes, in his journal about being laughed at school. And I was told it's made up, but I know enough about what happens in school for this child to know that it's probably true. He is one of the kids who tends to, like, kind of give big stories and act out. He's been doing so, so much better. But unfortunately, if this starts to happen, it's almost self-perpetuating in the negative self-talk, in the classroom abilities that we see, and in what they try and don't try, and how they show up daily in those settings. And this can be a daily occurrence, you know, in the classroom setting, or just one event that kind of sticks out in a child's mind that can affect the child's self-esteem greatly. And when this happens, those abilities that are there, or the abilities that are needed in the classroom, get highly affected by shutdown behavior, by this lack of confidence, and in the extreme case, the negative self-talk. I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I can't, I'm no good. You know, there's all these variants of it. And think about how you talk to yourself. You know, as adults, like, what is that internal voice? Where did you learn that critical voice for yourself? Was it at home? Was it at school? Is it society? You know, we as adults are bombarded by messages of not being good enough, especially women. You know, buy this cream for your elbow and you'll be happy. You know, so it's a constant battle in, you know, creating a calm internal state, this internal voice that is your best friend. I often think about, like, you know, we hear what people say out loud, but that's only a small part of what is actually being said internally to ourselves about life, whatever. In yoga, meditation, and mindfulness, they talk a lot about how the way people, humans in general, tend to talk to themselves and criticize themselves is something that they would never do to the people that they love, their family, their friends. So to learn to talk to yourself as your best friend, and it's an important life skill that kids need. They need to, especially the ones that we need to rewrite the negative self-talk through discharging these emotional intensities. We discharge these emotional intensities, these negative self-talk. This often comes with little banks of successes in school and outside of school. Gratitude, breath work, and then the consistency that is required to override old neural brain patterns, brain thoughts, negative self-talk to create that new habit. We have to show kids that there is a little bit of grit, a little bit of sisu, they say in Finnish culture, where you're sticking to something even when it's hard. And, you know, anything that has been wired into the brain permanently, a negative self-talk, a negative view, a negative I can't. I mean, the number of adults who tell me about their ADD and how that affected their learning, but also, you know, adults who they're like, hey, I'm no good at math. And I'm always like, well, who told you that? Or where did you get that view? And sometimes it's as extreme as like, oh, in second grade, I couldn't do math. I have faith that as a, you know, adult, the math that, you know, was in second grade is something that we can do as an adult. And with our adult brain, we can definitely learn it at this point. But we have these old stories that kind of just take over whether they're true or not. I've worked with some kiddos who used to call themselves names or stupid, and that doesn't happen anymore, right? The 101 therapeutics of tutoring, a space for them to be themselves, to work at a pace that they can handle, you know, tends to mitigate that over time, and their effort and their skills have been boosted. And as they get boosted, that negative self-talk tends to go away. And I know that these kids do take longer to do things, the core subjects, the reading practice, the writing practice, the math concepts, the spelling, the fine motor skills even of doing these things. But they also usually have a great pride in what they do. And I again, like I had said, they usually tend to have things come easy to them in other realms of life that are not academic. And even if the practice of doing these academic skills is slow, they do make steady progress and they do eventually get there. And so our job is to show them in a positive light, to show them what they can't see about themselves, to overcome. But this progress does not happen if the negative self-talk is in the way. If the programming of what they see or they can't, I can't, I won't, I'm stupid, I'm not good enough, I am not smart, all these programming there, the negative self-talk is in the way. It's really, really hard to get to the skills themselves, the abilities within the classroom that they actually need to develop because the mindset is a hindrance, is a block. And we have to help them reframe what they're thinking and feeling and feel fully whatever they're feeling, but then have better tools to navigate. Joe Dispenza, the To Be Magnetic community, Bruce Lipton, author of Biology of Belief, they all talk about discharging these old feelings to override the old patterns. And just thinking about how what we say out loud is only a small little part of what goes on internally. So when a child says out loud, or what a child says out loud, is only a small percentage of what they're actually thinking. And if it's already extreme, with self-esteem, with negative self-talk, we can only imagine what is going on internally for them, or they might even be shut down. When kids are in fight or flight, hey, when us as adults are in fight or flight, the brain literally shuts down. The frontal cortex, the thinking brain, is shut down. How can we ever expect students to remember, retain, think in new and creative ways if their nervous system and their brain is shut down? We have to teach them better tools. And yes, these kids do need better tools, especially the ones who the traditional teaching tools is not getting to them, where they need the visual-based reading and tracking skills, the Ron Davis clay and symbol mastery skills, plus gratitude, plus breath work, plus sitting still with themselves to be mindful, to be present with they're working with. But really, when kids have extreme negative self-talk, low self-esteem, their classroom abilities are affected because of the way that they think and feel about themselves.
Be sure to sign up for the Foundation course. This course is here to support you. It teaches the exact foundational tools I have used with students to ease anxiety and help raise confidence and self-esteem so that they can succeed in all areas of their lives, including academics. It's available as a one-time purchase or as an ongoing monthly subscription with extra group support and monthly live stream. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter to stay in contact. Keep up with the Creating Confident Learners community on Instagram and Facebook at Creating Confident Learners. Have a blessed day and aloha.